Welcome back, MGTOW men. Boredom is the ultimate home wrecker of the modern world. It's what the modern world's helped create. And a man in today's relationship has to be a court jester in many respects, and she's going to expect him to provide new trips, new trinkets, and new friends and excitement in order to keep himself validated within the relationship. It's crazy. And I'm going to talk about this expectation for men to be court jesters in relationships and make allusions to how feminism has actually helped create this primary obligation for men in relationships, and it just detracts from the purpose of a relationship at all, and once again contributes to the really negative leaning cost-benefit analysis of relationships. So I'm going to give you a flashback of a few years ago. I was dating a girl, and she just found everything I did boring. You know, whatever I was studying, what I was doing at work, the fact that I was a baseball player, all of it was boring. But, you know, what's the alternative? Okay, the alternative to boring in the eyes of the female that you're trying to date is what's socially unacceptable. It's breaking social mores. It's often breaking laws even. Okay, it puts you in danger of severe social ostracization and actually a downturn in the path that you need to take for yourself. So if you're trying to be able to play the game of life and to maintain a path of the dreams that you have for your life, you have to be willing to not be boring in her eyes, and that's a massive risk that doesn't really have any reward. So society tells women that they are stronger today if they do not have kids. Therefore, they don't have kids, not just because it doesn't make sense to them, but because they now can't have kids in order to keep up with the other women that they have to compete with in order to earn the jobs that feminism has told them that they have to get. Okay, and whenever you lose something, you're going to fill it with another thing. This isn't always a bad thing, but often today, people are just viewed for how much of a conduit they are for excitement, okay, rather than what they offer in building something, which is how families used to be constructed, okay, for the purpose of building. Okay, there was a pursuit, there was a job, there was a striving every day. Women had a concrete, natural given purpose to have children and to raise them. But now Beyonce has told them that they're strong and independent, and therefore they should not want to have kids because they are proving something to the patriarchy if they don't. Okay, whatever. And some women find careers to fill their time with. Some of them don't find those careers to fill their time with, though, too. And sometimes they get the career, but oftentimes they still get the career, but they're okay with never moving up in that career. They just have gotten it because of proxy, I guess. And I was reading an article the other day, and it included an anecdote from a woman, a mother, that had a child, and at a job interview, that she said that she, you know, despite getting the job after the interview, she drove home crying, knowing well that she couldn't take the job and leave her newborn at home. Okay, it was a motherly instinct on her part. But part of what is behind feminism is either discouraging women from either having kids or saying that when they have the kid, that they should discard the father. All right. And an article in The Atlantic stated that 43% of women with children will leave their jobs. It's expected. And I'm not saying they can never work if they don't want to. But this is contributing to what I'm going to touch upon with the court jester. So one of the side effects that I've noticed from the subversive shaming and reorienting of a woman's mind and purpose also, and they're asking for it as well. They want it. But, you know, when they get that which they want and they ask for it, they want to discard it. So the lie of duality that women can have a 60-hour work week, raise three kids, and still have a healthy marriage, that it's not working. And it definitely is contributing to the massive rise in divorce rates. There's like a 5% of women that probably can pull that off. Okay, 5%. And I'm going to provide three different scenarios to delineate three different types of court jesters that women expect men to be in relationships as this world becomes more artificial and less purpose-driven. So this is the give me something to look forward to court jester. And we all know what a court jester is. The court jester is there to entertain the royalty. That is the job of the court jester. But a man is supposed to be the court jester today. He's supposed to be the knight. He's supposed to be the king. He's supposed to be all of those things to all people, to the queen, apparently. So the queen has the role as a queen, but the man in relationships today has to be all of those things in the feudal system, so to speak. So women love holidays, and they love birthday parties and special events like this because it always provides at least an artificial event to look forward to in life. They always want something to look forward to. And I'm not saying that men don't want something to look forward to, but usually that something that they're looking forward to is something that they have to actively do and pursue. So they're hoping that they get to that point, and that is what they're hoping for, something that they can contribute towards and get because of their own work. So women love having things to look forward to, and thus they end up preparing for holidays so far in advance, decorating the home and so forth. And a man that is able to keep a woman entertained like that in a relationship is able to keep a relationship going far longer, even if he's rolling his eyes as he puts up the holiday decorations around the house. It's not a masculine interest at all. It's really empty, and I've always viewed holidays that way. And I was watching some of M. Kraft's older videos yesterday, and he was making some really good points, and I think in his video regarding external validation. And what he discussed were the three things that women really expect for me to provide. The one that I will discuss right here is not usually focused on very much, and that's the idea that men will always have to offer something new. It's not just a home or the immediate resources or social acceptance. It's newness. Newness. What is it that you have new? Okay, there always has to be something new on the horizon that you're creating, even if it's crap, as he put it. Even if it's not anything notable. It's just, if it's new, it'll keep the relationship afloat. And that really denotes immaturity in a relationship. So I also believe he calls this clutching a woman. And as one of my other friends calls it, it's a power move. These things are fancy vacations in the future, new cars, as Immortal Minds used to say, he always was buying a new car. And that's why you see a lot of guys in relationships, they know that things aren't going that great between him and his wife. So what he does is he books a vacation for 5 months down the road. He drops $5,000 on it and uses it to leverage the woman towards him. So the immediate satisfaction and dopamine rush that comes into her mind from what is essentially a feeling of social acceptance through the vacation, okay, that is the purpose of it. And you know, that validation only lasts maybe an hour, literally an hour after the purchase. So it keeps her around, though, and it justifies the relationship in her eyes through those 5 months. That doesn't mean that she's always going to be faithful to him during that time, but at least, okay, she believes that he's aggregated his chances for her to still be at least remotely in his life in 5 months. It's pretty sad. And for many simps that are treating relationships month to month, they're running on a treadmill, like a guy that's scrapping out rent payments each month. It's really, all it is there to ease his mind. So there's this girl that was a really good student that I knew. She's a good athlete, getting pretty high grades, always acting highly motivated towards her career and establishing herself in her career. Then she ended up, I think, breaking up with a guy, and she probably was not interested in him really that much, and she found a new guy, a new boyfriend. And it seemed, based on what I heard, he had a really high-paying job, especially for the age that he was. It offered him good status, and soon she began to lose interest in all those things that she believed that she had to have for herself in order to allow for a greater chance of survival, so to speak. So what she saw in that job that she was pursuing and those good grades, it wasn't necessarily that she was going to be fulfilled through them. She knew that it was something that she had to have in the modern world in order to survive. And women are far more likely going to view things and careers for that purpose. Sometimes they are going to pursue it, depending on the career, for social validation, but most of the time it's viewed for the sake of survival. That's why they will drop it if they don't have to. And so this guy comes along, the belief that you're going to have to pursue that job and pursue those good grades for your own survival, it goes down the drain. So if there's a guy that isn't going to provide for me, which was her ex-boyfriend, then I'm going to have to do it myself. Okay. And that belief that I have to do the work myself is soon going to be replaced when she finds the current boyfriend. They go on trips all the time. They start planning future trips. All of her conversation starts to center around him. And eventually her self-worth and security has him at the center. As a result, she becomes indifferent about her career. Her GPA slips. And generally she loses the same fervor for her own career because her career isn't linked for survival. Her relationship is based on the offerings he has for her to look forward to other things. So it's the to look forward to Courtchester. And the next guy is really common in a borderline relationship and in a relationship with a woman that has really bad abandonment issues. So you're the only friend that I have type of saying that it's a really severe sign of immaturity as well. You're not just entertainer to her. You're the only friend that many of these women will genuinely have when they get themselves into these social ruts, I guess. They don't know how to make new friends. And if they have friends, they don't remain as friends. Goes back to the cut friends off red flag. And they will always treat any sort of relationship with a guy as a sexual relationship. It always escalates that really quickly. Guys can sense that. And guys end up taking advantage of that opportunity, because they see what she's trying to do. They see how she sees herself and where her value is. And they also, okay, need these people need consistent sexual intercourse and don't understand the need and practicality of going without sex in a relationship for whatever reason might be in their life. Okay, and this is what my friend commented on, and I would agree with this. Okay, he would make a hypothetical statement like, what if the country was in a period of war and I had to be away for 6 months to a year? What would you, you know, would you stay with me? What would you say to that? Would you be faithful? Okay, harkening back in American history, Civil War, men are called, militiamen. They have to disappear. They have to go on a moment's notice. Okay, and the big issue here is how it's viewed by her. Okay, to her, despite the fact that you're doing something out of obligation and it's a severe sacrifice for your own life against your own accord, this person that treats you as the only friend that she has will view this as abandonment. Okay, it's asinine. And if you have to go to work, if you have to be flown around for business, if you have to go and see an ailing family member and you have to be apart, they will also view that as abandonment and they will perceive you not to be their friend anymore. Okay, they're very irrational. And this would happen to me in college, both as an undergrad and as a grad student. Okay, since neither of the places I went to was anywhere near my home, I'd go back occasionally. And in their eyes, okay, that was justification that, you know, if I wanted to hang out with other dudes, I could. Okay, it's nonsense. And this crap leads to isolation in their life. Okay, it leads to other unhealthy behaviors as well. And it's why guys lose friends during these relationships. They have no chance to do anything else because even time spent is viewed as negligent. Okay, even with an ailing family member or something of that nature. And it's a sign of a personality disorder and also past trauma as well. And so this third one was really hit me the other day when I was in an email thread. Okay, and it's the bad boy jester. So let's be real. In grade school, even in elementary and middle school, even if a guy wasn't super athletic, super attractive, etc., if he was a class clown, then he would attract attention because humor does carry some social equity to it. It means a number of things, but mainly the class clown is often the bad boy as well. It's the precursor for the bad boy in many instances, and he's got the bad boy chromosome in him, and for the girl, that's exciting. So the elementary school version of the bad boy is often the class clown, and his willingness to be a rebel for the sake of humor is going to be viewed by the girl as his willingness to stand up for himself, to stand up against authority, and create his own authority, something really attractive. But the misunderstanding here is that it's functional. Okay, it's not a functional version of standing up for yourself. It might in some cases reflect intellectual strength and ability to be funny for those reasons. But most of the time, it's not a functional standing up for yourself or resilience against authoritarian or negative authorities. So they always have an interest in the court jester, and when this guy grows up, he's gonna possess a certain amount of social equity from these same people that he was attracting as a class clown. And it's why they'll stick with this guy, even if he's working a dead-end job that doesn't bring in that much money. So he offers her consistent bad boy entertainment. And the consistent guy that brings in money, has a stable job, a stable life, will often be pegged as boring, like I said. And this was brought up in an email thread, as I said, really important one. I hope he doesn't mind that I read some of it. So I read in Smart Women, Foolish Choices that women seek excitement through men in their lives. This is why they date drug dealers instead of engineers or CPAs. My first job after college was the supply officer of a fleet of ballistic missile submarines. I had enough excitement in 2 years to last a lifetime. As Sandman said, let them have the bad boys. Fast forward a little bit. I could not tell them about my submarine days because it was still classified. However, on my next duty, I was a contract administrator at a defense plant. I was chatting with a cute girl who was a bartender, and she asked what I did for a living, and I told her that I was managing contracts at a defense plant. She said, "That sounds boring." It says everything right there. So the other key here is that she's not interested in your job. Don't act like she's going to be interested in your job. You're going out to dinner after a long day of work and you think you accomplished a lot. Don't think that you can just start talking about it and that's going to enthrall them. It's not. Okay, she is interested in you getting the job because she's interested in the results that come with getting the job, which is the money, the status, the social acceptance. If those things go away, you're going to go away. And the only time that you might see an expressed interest from her is if you share the same type of career. Therefore, she'll be interested in the work that you do because it has to do with her world and her survival. But if you have a job that is in a different field, it doesn't directly impact her, just the money that you make. Therefore, you will be learning more about her career than she learns about yours. So I talk about this, all these things, the court jesters, because I think that this is another important reminder about the expectations of a modern man in the dating world, and it does factor into the cost-benefit analysis that we do. So you have to be an entertainer, you have to be the king, you have to be the knight, like I said, and that's never been the purpose of relationships in the past in history. Okay, you used to have arranged marriages, okay, because people chose other partners because that person fit in that good, in that time, in that space. It was never about having a good time. Okay, not saying that that's something you completely throw out the window, but that's not the sole purpose. But now it's viewed as if it is. It's like, I'm going to finally have fun once I find that person in my life. Okay, it's a lie. All right, we're born to ourselves, we die to ourselves. You're not a court jester. But once again, boredom, as I said, the ultimate homewrecker of the modern world. So thanks again for listening today, guys. As always, at the end of each video, I've been announcing I'm putting an ebook together of testimonies of how MGTOW men have come to MGTOW, the philosophy, and what it's done to benefit their lives. If you want to hit me up about that, sunrisehoodie@gmail.com is the spot, or on Twitter @sunrisehoodie. You guys have a good day. Hoodies up, hoodie out.